A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Okay, a quick look back at the Husky game last weekend. We played an outstanding first half, both offensively and defensively. Did a lot of good things, and then unfortunately the second half couldn't get much done. Didn't play well on either side of the ball in the second half. So consequently, didn't get a victory, and really a very similar storyline ultimately as – like it was in the first week, with the turnovers being the major problem that plagued us. Turned the ball over 4 times, and you just can't do that. And we talked about that the week before against the Trojans, and we played another outstanding football team in the Huskies last week. And when you turn the ball over 4 times, and 3 of those were in the second half, you just don't give yourself much of a chance. So that was unfortunate. A lot of positives in the game, a lot of positives. We ran the football exceptionally well. Over 200 yards rushing, over 5 yards of carry, defended the run exceptionally well, less than 100 yards again. I think it was 88 yards total for the Huskies. Came away with some takeaways of our own on defense, 3 interceptions. Thought the secondary made some plays. So a lot to build on and things to carry forward, but no moral victories. Not trying to paint that picture. But I thought we took a step forward as a football team from week 1 to week 2. Looking ahead now to this weekend, Oregon State coming in here, a team that's feeling very good about themselves, and they should be after beating the Ducks. That was a big win for them. They got a running back that's really in high gear right now and doing a good job for them. And they're a good football team. And as evidenced by their win against Oregon last week. So we've got our work cut out for us again this week. We need to take another step forward as a football team and just keep working hard and keep trying to get better and progressing. So that's where we're at. Questions?
Kyle, as you look at Oregon State, is your guys' top priority to stop Jamar Jefferson?
Yeah, that's definitely a top priority. And that's pretty much every week. There's some exceptions, but that's the starting point for our defensive planning is, okay, what do we got to do to stop the run? How are we going to control the gaps? And what fronts do we need to employ? And so and even more so this week when you got a guy running the football like their guy is. And so that's our starting point.
Hey, Kyle, good morning.
Good morning, Josh.
I'm just curious, now that we're past Thanksgiving and campus is going to be mostly empty for a while, do you believe that alleviates at least some concern in terms of dealing with the virus and keeping your players safe, that campus is now empty?
I guess it would. I hadn't thought of that, but we're trying to keep them safe as possible and out of harm's way. And we've had to move a bunch of them to a hotel, to separate guys and just do everything we can to mitigate the likelihood of COVID, and I think our staff has done an excellent job doing that. We've had our share of problems, like everyone else in the country, like almost everybody else in the country. But I think that the less people you're around, the better. And now that campus is empty, the guys that are on campus in the dormitories, that's more of a safe environment, I would say, than a bunch of people there.
Kyle, just a quick follow-up to what you said. I'm not asking names or specific numbers, but can you maybe put a percentage of how much of your roster is staying in a hotel off campus?
You know, I'd have to ask Jeff Rudy. He's our guy that orchestrates all that. It's not a high percentage, but it's what we did is guys that, you know, if you live together and one guy gets it, it's a high risk exposure for the other guy. And so we've just tried to make sure we've separated everybody as best we can and put them in the best possible scenario. And it really has been a benefit in a lot of instances in the last few weeks where we've been able to isolate things that wouldn't have been as isolated if we hadn't made that move. And so appreciate our medical staff and administration for allowing us to get that done.
Good morning, Kyle.
Morning.
Looking at your running game the last couple weeks, you've taken a committee approach, distributed the carries quite a bit. Has there been one or two running backs out of the group that have started rise to the top from your perspective that started to separate themselves on the field?
Well, I think you've seen Ty Jordan really do some good things for us the last couple of weeks, and especially last week his touches went up in this last game, and he, if anybody, that is starting to separate himself a little bit from the pack. Now every one of those four guys has a role and brings something to the table, but as far as just productivity and explosiveness and big playmaking ability, I think you see that in Ty Jordan in particular. And you saw him rip off a couple runs there in the game. He did put the ball on the ground one time, which is unfortunate, because had we we're deep in the red zone, if we score on that drive, I believe we win the game. But he's doing the best he can for a young freshman. He'll get better with his ball security, and he did a great job for us in that game, making some big plays. And so if there's any separation that's starting to occur, I would say Ty Jordan is the guy that is starting to separate himself.
Hey, Coach, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thank you.
So Brant's one of the most dynamic players in the Pac-12. How do you get him more involved moving forward? I mean, he had the good first quarter against Washington, but kind of non-existent elsewhere, including the USC game. How do you get him more involved?
Yeah, we got to keep him involved and get him more touches. Now defenses are putting, they're very, very much aware of Brant and paying attention to him and had a good player on him on Saturday. But we've got to continue to be more creative and get him the ball different ways. You saw him carry the ball on an orbit reverse there, and we need to do more of that. And that's our job as coaches to get that done. And we haven't maximized him as well as we should have in the first couple games. And moving forward, unless people are just outright going to double team him every snap, we got to find more ways to get him touches. Because you're right, he's one of the more dynamic tight ends in the country, and we've got to find a way to maximize that.
Good morning, Coach. I wanted to ask you about the pass rush and just your level of concern in terms of, being productive in your pass rush.
Yeah, well, it wasn't good enough on Saturday. It was pretty good the week before. We came away with 3 sacks in the opener, but 0 sacks last week. We did apply some pressure. Most of the pressures we dialed up happened to be a lot of them happened to be versus the run, which helped us out as well. We made some big plays in the defending the run with some of those pressures. But our 4-man rush wasn't as good to us as it usually is and traditionally has been. And we really could have used a sack on that last drive. That last drive was 12 plays and 80-something yards. And that's when you need a big sack to thwart the drive. We weren't able to do that. And it's not due to lack of effort. Our guys are playing hard and doing everything they can. But that was a concern last week. Wasn't what we usually are in the pass rush. We're usually much more effective. And so that's something that hopefully we get back this week.
Josh Newman, then Trevor Allen.
Kyle, it's been kind of a long road here at this point for Britton Covey. At this point, how optimistic are you that he can keep getting healthy and maybe play a larger role in your offense?
Well, I'm optimistic. We're optimistic. He's optimistic. But it remains to be seen. We'll see how the practice week goes. He's been very limited. And last week you saw him a few snaps here and there on offense, but predominantly used him in the kick return game. Now, there wasn't much generated there. The kickoffs were not in a spot. One was in a spot where we probably could have returned it, but the other 4 or 5, I thought he made the right decision in fair catching or letting it go in the end zone. He did a nice job on the first punt return. and saving us a bunch of yards by coming up and making that catch. I took a big hit on the play, but he's fearless and courageous, and we hope that his role is expanded this week and he's able to do a lot more on offense, but that remains to be seen. We'll have to see how the practice week goes and how he progresses. But we're a better football team when he's in the lineup. I can tell you that because he's a playmaker.
Trevor Allen, followed by Jeff Call.
Kyle, I wanted to get your thoughts on two guys who are playing in your secondary that have already played in their first two games in college, Clark Phillips and Nate Ritchie. How would you assess their performances through their first two games in college?
I think they played exceptionally well given the circumstances, and they made big improvements from game one to two. I know Nate had a tough matchup with that tight end from Washington this past week. He's a heck of a player, that tight end is. But you also got to throw Fabian Marks in there as well. So those three true freshmen were on the field a bunch together in the game on Saturday, and we came away with three interceptions, and they held down the fort. I mean, they did throw for about 250, but that in this day and age of football, that's not a ton of yards. And when you combine that with only 88 rushing yards, the defense played pretty darn good. And if they get a stop on that last drive and hold them to 17 and we win the game, then we're all feeling really good about ourselves right now. But that's not the case. You know, we weren't able to get that stop, and it's unfortunate. But I think those guys are progressing well, as is, the other guys, Tennessee Puchitau, who played a bunch of snaps for us up front. Sione Fotu, our freshman linebacker, played very well. He's a guy that I think is not getting as much recognition as he should. He's been very productive for us.
Coach, how do you go about emphasizing ball security in practice?
We go about it every day of the week. We dedicate periods to nothing but ball security drills. We've been doing that for years. Andy's very tuned into that. Andy Ludwig, our coordinator, nobody is neglecting that. Nobody is not paying attention to that. We're all paying attention to it. And it's something we always do pay attention to. And that has been, if you boil it right down to the bare bones, that's been our issue. Like I said, I believe if we turn the ball over one time in those first two games, in each game, we probably win both of them. But that's the shoulda, woulda, coulda. That's not the case, but that's how impactful it's been. And it's something that we will continue to emphasize. There comes a point where you harp on things too much. It becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy where it becomes a negative, if you rant and rave about it too much. So our guys understand how important it is. There's nobody on our offense who doesn't get it as far as ball security. And so we've just got to continue to try to do a better job.
Coach, wanted to ask you about the offensive line. It seemed that they were able to generate a lot more push up front with Nick Ford at center. How do you evaluate that with Orlando Umana out with injury? And then just what do you want to see from the offensive line moving forward?
Well, you're exactly right. We did get a lot better push, and it was evidenced by our offensive or our rushing production going way up from the week before. Nick really is an inside three guy. He's not really at his home position when he's a tackle. He's talented enough to do very well there, but he does better inside, and his future at the next level is as an inside guy. And so, going forward, we need to see more of the same, just continue to get push. We still need to shore up the pass protection a little bit. It's a little bit too soft at times. Those defensive ends of the Huskies were doing a good job on the outside, narrowing the pocket. We got to keep more width in the pocket with our tackles. We're getting collapsed a little bit, but saw progress. Bottom line, from week one to week two, offensive line was much improved, and we need to take another step forward this week.
Kyle, I know you want to win every game, but I'm wondering, are there benefits for this young team experiencing the sort of, for lack of a better term, heartbreaking losses as they move forward as a collective?
I guess you could say that. The old adage, what doesn't kill you makes you tougher, and I think there's lessons to be learned. Whether you win or lose, there's big lessons to be learned. And this team certainly has a lot of lessons to be learned with the amount of young guys that are getting their opportunity. And so it's, the key is to continue to learn and not make the same mistakes twice and try to, if you're going to make a mistake, make a new one. And it's our job as coaches to correct mistakes and continue to bring these guys along. They got a great attitude. There's a lot of fight in these freshmen that are playing, and a lot of want to, and for the whole team, that for that matter, I don't think there's any lack of that. You look at the tape, and even though we weren't productive in the second half this past game, it was not because of a lack of effort. Everyone's playing as hard as they can, and we as coaches have got to put these guys in better positions to make plays. So we didn't do a good enough job as coaches in the second half, and so that's where we're at.
Yeah, what stands out to you, Coach, about Jermar Jefferson in terms of his style and maybe the challenge that he poses this week?
Well, he's got size, speed, quickness. You're talking about the tailback, right? Because I don't normally name him. Yes. I go by numbers. But anyway, he's a terrific player. He's productive. He's got vision. You know, he seems to have excellent vision, which all really good backs have. And like I said, he's nearly 220 pounds and just a shade under 6 feet. So he's powerful and he runs hard. And their offensive line does a nice job. They're not exceptionally big up front. You know, they're a little bit undersized for, you know, Pac-12 and Power 5 standards. But you'd never know it by the way they play, because they're physical and they've got a nasty streak to them, which all really good offensive lines have that little bit of, not a little bit, but a nasty mentality. That's what they got up front.
Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, but you have to be at 500 this year to be bowl eligible, and you have two games left on the schedule. Do you harp on that at all to these young guys this week to keep themselves in the running? Because as you know, an extra potential month of practice and being together goes really far for a young group like this.
Well, we're harping on Oregon State right now and trying to find a way to be at our best for those guys and let whatever happens after that happen. With the way the season lays out, it's not an extra month of practice before the bowls. It'll be a couple weeks at best. But it's all our focus, all our attention. We haven't even talked about that as far as postseason. We're just trying to become as good a football team as we can at the moment. And we don't want to get one step ahead of ourselves at all. And so all our focus is channeled to this week. There's been no talk of anything but Oregon State, nor will there be. That's where we're at.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.